Greetings. I'm Pastor Joel of Heart City Church, and welcome again to Happy and Whole in Him. At Heart City, we don't want our music to be heartless or mindless. In fact, our leadership chooses a song of the month, which makes it into every church service, with the hope that repetition will get the tune and the gospel truth stuck in our heads. A few months back, we chose Bob Coughlin's O Great God, which first verse starts off like this. O Great God of highest heaven, occupy my lowly heart. Own it all and reign supreme. Conquer every rebel power. Let no vice or sin remain that resists your holy war. You have loved and purchased me. Make me yours forevermore. This song speaks of holy war, but not like we tend to think of the term, which usually involves bloodshed and conquest. It first recognizes the supremacy of God and His claim on our lives, His absolute claim, and also that we struggle with this because our hearts are lowly. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately sick." Our old nature seeks to remain in rebellion, resisting God's purposes all life long. So this song prays that God will do what He must to conquer the remaining sin that lies inside me. Hebrews 12:10 says, God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in His holiness. And the grounds for this desire is the gospel, that God has loved us by sending His own Son to die on the cross. God purchased us, so we are no longer our own. We were bought with a price, 1 Corinthians 6:20. So let me ask you, friend, do you pray for holy war? Perhaps you're not a believer, and you're wondering why anyone would want to pray for war inside. Our culture tells us the purpose of life is to feel good, to avoid any and all suffering. God says the purpose of our life is to be good. And when you seek to feel good instead of be good, as the one who created you demands, ironically, you end up suffering more. Maybe in this life, maybe eternally. Christians take a different view on suffering because we desire to be holy, as our God is holy, 1 Peter 1:16, which means, while we're not masochists seeking to suffer, we are going to meet it. And by the way, if you're listening to a pastor who doesn't tell you about suffering, you're not hearing the gospel of Jesus, who calls us to take up our cross in this life. Glory comes after. The Bible teaches us also that our suffering is never meaningless. It is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory, 1 Corinthians 4:17. That is why we should count it all joy when trials come that test our faith. James 1, 2, and 3. We see that in the trials, the unbelief or the irreligion that still remains within me is purged. Blaise Pascal says, "It is true there is difficulty in entering into godliness, but this difficulty does not arise from the religion which begins in us, but only from the irreligion which is still there. If our senses were not opposed to penitence, and if our corruption were not opposed to the purity of God, there would be nothing in this painful to us. We suffer only in proportion as the vice which is natural to us resists supernatural grace. Our heart feels torn asunder by these opposed efforts, but it would be very unfair to impute this violence to God, who is drawing us on, instead of to the world which is holding us back. The cruelest war that God can make with men in this life is to leave them without that war which He came to bring. I came to bring the fire and the sword." My friend, did you hear that? Maybe you're going through a painful time right now and you feel angry at God. But God wants to cure you of the poison within you, even if it causes you pain. Imagine being out in the woods and getting bit by a poisonous snake, and the venom is about to start pumping towards your heart, and God is standing there with a knife. Would it be loving if God just stood there and did nothing? No! That would be the cruelest thing, to sit back and watch you die. But God in His love takes the knife and He cuts your flesh to draw out that poison. But He doesn't only remove what is killing you. God pours supernatural grace into your dying soul. And over time, you begin to truly experience living. I've been a Christian for a number of years, and being obedient is not any easier, but the happiness is actually getting deeper and deeper. That is what it takes. God is pressing out all that is evil, as he presses me into the mold of Christ, his own son, which one day I will be fully when Jesus Christ returns in glory. 1 John 3:2. And what is of great comfort in the now is that there is no pain, no sorrow, no kind of difficulty that our Lord Jesus does not understand. He endured the cross so that we would have its power as we move closer to the glory of the resurrection. My friend, remember who you are and who you belong to.